Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
Welcome to the Move the Sticks podcast. I am Bucky Brooks, and I got a special guest. Former All-Pro, former All-Everything Pro Bowl linebacker Thomas Davis joins the program. TD, what's going on?
What's up, Buck, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How did I get you out to L.A.? What's happening?
I mean, just trying to get reps, man. That's what it's about in this retired life, trying to figure out what's next, man, and just having the opportunity to be on Total Access has been fun for me.
Oh, okay, it's fun. So now, I mean, look, we'll go a few different directions in the podcast, but I just saw your partner in crime, Luke Kuechly's joining the radio broadcast. Did you talk to Luke about this side?
I was literally.
He's on the dark side?
Listen, I was literally, me and Luke went to dinner the other night and kind of went to his crib and just had a conversation, man, sat down man to man, and he told me before it actually came to fruition that that's what he wanted to do. And I'm excited for him. Just, you know, when you get into this retired phase of your life, you just try to figure out what that next move is, man. And I mean, obviously Luke is in a position where he don't ever have to do anything again if he don't want to, but and I ain't saying that because he saved his money. He's just the cheapest person that you'll ever meet in your life. But he's a great dude, man, and I'm happy to see him find that next step.
You know, and think about this, because I think you guys are always synonymous with the Carolina Panthers. What is it like to have a partner, a guy that you play alongside of their position that, you know, you build this bond, you build this brotherhood, this kinship? What is it like playing with someone who is, I don't want to say you're equal, but you guys see the game the same way?
Man, it was amazing. We literally were out there trying to make each other's job easier. You know, we tried to be everything for each other. We tried to make sure if I didn't see something, he saw it. If he didn't see it, I saw it. And when you have that kind of chemistry, that kind of camaraderie that we had on the field, man, it goes above and beyond football. And that's just the relationship that we had. And it started from day one. And when you have a guy that comes in with the mindset and the attitude that Luke Kuechly has, it really lends to being able to do something like that.
It's funny because when we had conversations with Luke, he talked about you and how you challenged him in terms of how quickly you guys could read the guards and how you could flow to the thing and how a lot of the communication that you guys had was nonverbal, that you could see a formation and you guys would know what was about to happen. Where did that come from?
You know, just all the reps. You know, we kind of took the approach in practice that we were going to make practice harder than the games. And the only way that we could do that was going out and competing hard against each other. And we felt like once we competed hard against each other, that would make game day, like, just fun. So we would go out. We would literally be on the sideline in games, like, looking up at the stat sheet, talking about, hey, I got more tackles than you right now, or, you know, I'm going to be the first one going into the game. I'll be the first one to make the big play. And, like, whenever you have that kind of competition level and you're a true competitor, you want to be the one that, like, jump starts the team or get guys excited. Obviously, Luke Kuechly is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm not. So I think it's safe to say that he won most of those battles.
But let's talk about this because little did we know. So you were drafted 2005, 14th overall pick. I was working for the Carolina Panthers. I was scouting. I wasn't in charge of the Southeast. I was doing the West. When we brought you in, we put you at safety.
Yeah.
You end up being an all-everything linebacker. What was that transition like? Safety when you first come into the league and then making the move to linebacker, how difficult was it?
You know, it was so weird because I played 8 different positions in high school, and ironically enough, linebacker was never one of them. You know, I always tried to be that guy that could go out and show that I can do multiple things. And for me, when I did it in high school, it was about, hey, I want to show these teams that I can do this so I can try to get a scholarship opportunity. I don't know if that is essentially what ended up hurting me, because I only had two Division I offers. One was to Grambling University, one was to the University of Georgia on signing day. And I tell people that story all the time, but for me, that was when I learned how to be a versatile player and how to adjust. Because when I went to Georgia, it was literally the same thing. We're going to put you at safety. We're going to put you at linebacker. And it was like a musical chair situation. And it really wasn't until 2002 when one of our safeties got hurt, same situation in Carolina when Collier Branch got hurt, that they decided to just leave me at safety. And you know, the rest was history from at Georgia at that point.
So let's think about this, because the last couple of years we had a few different safeties that have come into the league. Guys like my little safety from my corner, my linebacker from Clemson came to the league. He went to Arizona, Isaiah. But he came in, and we think about, like, it's so easy from a scouting standpoint to think about, hey, this guy has all these talents. He has all these tools. He's able to do all of this stuff. If we just bring him in the league and, hey, coach, you can just move him around. But as the player, how hard is it to bounce around and play multiple positions at the highest level?
It's tough. It's tough. It's extremely tough because, for one, at this level, you got to be able to focus in on your position group, because you got to know, like, hey, I'm going against certain guys. I got to do certain things, especially for the positions that you have to communicate. In the secondary, you got to be able to communicate. At linebackers, you got to be able to communicate. But the communication is different. So once you get into a position where you're moving back and forth, like, that can mess up your head, especially as a young player. And, you know, not to make any excuses, I didn't prepare myself like I needed to my first year in Carolina. And I tell people that story all the time, and I think that's a huge part of what made me become a successful linebacker in this league, because I understood it's not about where you get drafted at.
Yeah.
You get drafted in the first round, you have a lot of expectations. That doesn't mean that you're going to get to start and play football. So I lost my starting job after that first year, and that humbled me in a way that I never imagined. I didn't start anymore after that first game, but I started every game after that I played.
No, so Isaiah Simmons was the linebacker that I was thinking about that went from Clemson to the Arizona Cardinals, who's bounced around. And we've, like, as scouts, like, we kind of see the tools and the traits, the speed and all those things. And I think a lot of times maybe we underestimate that part of it. Now I want you to help me as a scout. What is it that evaluators are missing when looking at linebackers? What is the one thing that maybe we don't pay enough attention to when we talk about the position and the guys that should be playing well at that position?
I think one of the things, like, when you're scouting a guy, it's, you know, just use Isaiah as an example, like you talk about. First and foremost, when you're thinking about transitioning a guy and seeing what he can do, you want to look at his size first. You got to make sure that if you're just going to take a safety and try to put him in that position, that he's not too undersized, the way he's just going to get pushed around and people are going to take advantage of. He can't hold a point of attack when taking on offensive linemen, because that was my biggest learning curve. Coming from being at safety, being the free hitter coming down, now I got to take on linemen. I got to take on fullbacks back in the day. That was one of the biggest transitions that I had to make. But you got to understand that guys got to be in a position where they can react to the game a lot faster. It's going to be on you a lot faster. And for us, you got to make sure guys are committed to doing the work, making sure that they're strong, making sure that they're instinctive. Instincts, they go unmatched. It don't really matter how fast you are. You can be the fastest man on the field. If you're not an instinctive player, if you can't go out there without, like, sitting there guessing, thinking what's going on, you're going to get caught up every single time. You can run a 4-3. You can run a 4-2. I don't care. If you can't see and react to what's going on quickly, doesn't matter. It just takes away from your playing style and your ability to play the game. So you have to be able to go out, line up, and react to what you see. So that's one of the biggest keys for a linebacker to me, just to answer your question.
Okay, so in thinking about that, because we talk about instincts, because to me, I feel like those things are more innate. You kind of have them. At linebacker, how do you, like, figure that part out? You talk about reacting quickly. Is that something that we develop with coaching? Is it film study?
Film study.
Or is it just,
film
I
study.
Got it?
It's film study. It's film study all day. And one of the reasons why, you know, and I'm circling back talking about Luke Kuechly again, one of the reasons why that he became the player that he became, he never left the facility. when he left eventually, mm-hmm. if you guys understand, but when we left, he was there 4 or 5 hours a day after we left. And you could do that when you don't have a family, you don't have you have kids or anybody to go home to. You can spend that extra time, but he benefited from that because he knew exactly when offensive linemen got in certain stances, he knew when they were in certain spots on the field, and him understanding and knowing that, he's telling everybody else. And that's making all of our game elevate to a whole different level. When he's talking to everybody, he know what the offense is running. You'll see a lot of times teams come out in certain formations, and as soon as the ball is snapped, Luke run right to the play. Like, yeah. literally runs right to the play. And I'm like, Luke, man, look, you got to slow down a little bit because they're going to think I'm losing the step with you running this fast and getting there that fast. But, you know, for me as a competitor, it made me watch more film. It made me really start to learn more about the importance of watching film and seeing how big of a difference that made my game.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
So you had a unique opportunity because in talking about defense and playing fast, you played for head coaches who came from the defense side of the ball. You had John Fox and you had Ron Rivera. What is it like playing for a head coach who really knows that side of the ball and can kind of lean on you a little bit more when he doesn't feel like you give him everything that he needs at that position?
Listen, it was tough. I mean, I love Coach Rivera to death, man. He literally helped elevate our level of play and really got us to the Super Bowl with his coaching style. And one of the biggest things I say about Coach Rivera, and you just talked about it, he understands the game, he played the game, and he understands his players. So he allowed us to go out and really be who we were. But on the defensive side of the ball, he made it hard for us. Like, man, we would be in practice and we would literally shut the offense down and, like, he was still giving them the first down.
Oh, yeah.
When that's happening and you're in a two-minute situation, like, we started to complain as defensive guys. And he would always come tell me, TD, it's going to be hard on the defense. I'm setting it up that way. It's going to be hard on you guys. Deal with it. I'm like, all right, coach, that's fine. So now with him impressing this upon me, I'm letting all the other guys, this is not a situation where you're going to complain about what happened. When we get an interception, get ready to line up and keep this two-minute drive going because, in essence, it's going to make us better as a defense, but it's going to also teach the offense, like, hey, you got to take care of the ball. You got to sustain drives. And, I mean, that's one of the things that I love the most about Coach Rivera. With him having that defensive background, he allowed us as a defense to go out and play in tough situations. That way, when it happens in the game, we never panicked.
So one of the things that has come up of late, and I'm always curious because I have my opinions on this, but what is it like when you are playing the National Football League, but you have an opportunity to play for a coach who has also played in the league, be it position coach, coordinator, or whatever? Is there a difference in having a guy who has played the game as opposed to someone who hasn't necessarily played?
There's a huge difference in having a guy who played the game. I love Coach Fox to death. You talked about him a little bit. And Coach Fox, we felt like at the time was, and this is from hearing other stories from guys that played on other teams, we felt like Coach Fox was the ultimate player's coach.
Yeah, he was cool.
Until we got Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera came in, and just having a coach that understands certain stages of the season, certain stages of training camp. And when we go to him as players, I'm like, coach, listen, man, we had a tough day yesterday. Like, our bodies, it was taxing on our bodies. Like, we need some extra reps taken off. We need some time, you know, to recoup. He would literally set up a day where we just had a recovery day from listening to the players. Or if we went to him as players and we're like, coach, look, that practice wasn't good enough. It wasn't hard. We didn't get enough out of that practice. Then we would amp it up the next day just simply based on coach understanding that we as veterans are not just going to come to him looking for it to be easy. And just having that kind of relationship with a guy that has played the game, I mean, it made a world of difference for us as a football team.
Yeah, I think people kind of have a weird definition for what a player's coach is, but listening to you, it's about communication. I want to ask you about quarterback play, because I think everyone talks about this being a quarterback-driven league and quarterbacks and those things. So obviously you had a chance to play with Cam Newton during his prime when he was Super Cam and all that other stuff.
Yes.
When Cam was at his best, so when your franchise quarterback is one of those guys who is special, what does it do for the confidence of the rest of the team?
Man, it elevated everybody's level of play, man, because and then I tell people this all the time. It really started in practice, because Coach Rivera allowed our practice to be super competitive. Anybody that ever came to a Carolina practice, there are two voices that you would hear nonstop every single practice. Cam Newton, Thomas Davis. Every practice, we're going back and forth. We're going at it every single practice. And if it ever came a point, and Coach McDermott, it used to drive him crazy. It used to drive Coach McDermott crazy. But Coach Rivera would literally come over to me if we got quiet from listening to Coach McDermott. He would come over to me. He was like kind of signal his hands like, hey,
you need more talking.
What noise is it? I can't hear you. He knew that brought the best out of all of us. He knew in order for us to talk trash, we had to go out on the field and back it up. He knew that brought the best out of our quarterback, because he's highly competitive. He wanted to win at everything. He knew we wanted to win at everything on our side. And you could just see the level of play elevate each year from us just being out competing against each other day in and day out.
So it's funny. So I played in Green Bay during a time where Brett Favre won 3 straight MVPs. And on defense, we felt like if we gave him the ball back, no matter what the situation was, we were going to figure out a way to win.
Yep.
And so I wonder, did you ever get to that point? Did your team ever get to the point that because Cam was playing at a level that he was playing at, if you're like, hey, man, if we just get the ball back to number one, he'll figure that thing out.
I'm telling you, that's exactly how we felt as a team in 2015. We literally felt like we were not going to lose a football game. We literally felt that way, because even when we had games that we ended up getting down, it's like he had this aura and this look about him, like the confidence level that he had that year was through the roof, man. And we rode the wave on that, man, because the amount of fun and excitement that we had within that team, within that organization, within that city, it just felt electric. It felt different than any other season that we had ever had, man. And obviously, we came up short in the Super Bowl, and we ended up losing a game that we should not have lost to Atlanta Falcons. But for the most part, man, that season in itself, I watched Cam Newton mature and grow into the MVP of our league.
So off that experience, because you guys didn't win the Super Bowl, but you were able to get there. So now, if you had an opportunity to talk to a coach about, like, hey, what are the essential things that are necessary to building a championship team, what would you say some of those things are?
I think you got to have you got to have guys on both sides of the balls that not both sides, on all phases that are going to be leaders. You got to have a healthy mix of veteran guys and young, good talent. That's one of the things that I think teams, as the years have gone on, they've kind of devalued that veteran leadership. And it makes a world of difference on all teams, especially the good teams. And you got to be able to allow players to be who they are. You can't try to shelter them and change who they are. You drafted them for a reason. You drafted them because you knew that they could play, or you signed them in free agency because you knew what they were capable of. They were good players when you brought them in for a reason. So don't try to change or shelter them. You can literally try to work with them and elevate some of the things that they need help with, or try to help them get better, but don't try to completely change who they are. And that's what I think a lot of teams fail at. You bring a guy in based on what he's able to do, and then you try to change him. And that's where you see guys that just fall to the wayside sometimes in free agency.
Man, I love this conversation. I love having a conversation where we can just talk about ball and talk about all the things. I look forward to bringing you back on the Move the Sticks podcast, because we got to do it again, because there's so many more things.
Listen, whenever you're ready, Buck, I'm ready, man.
Thanks so much, man. That was Thomas Davis, all-pro linebacker who's making his way into the TV biz. Thanks so much for joining the podcast.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.